And it'd be helpful if I just started recording at this point. So we are live. I'm here with Jonathan Powell. Jonathan, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here, Jermaine. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here on this call. We're not going to get started right away. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 minutes as we wait for some more people to actually get on this teleclass. This is a very new technology, and we haven't been doing it very long. So we're just going to wait for a few people to get on. The phones are ringing like crazy here in the office. And everybody's just awaiting this Gospel Keys Urban 600, a wonderful course, 5.5 hours. So keep your questions coming. We're definitely going to be answering them on this call. And we're going to get started in probably 2 to 3 minutes. We'll be getting started. All right, again, I am Jermaine Griggs, and we're just waiting for some more people to get on the call. We're here live. This is live technology here. I'm talking on the phone. My time is 8:35 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, that is. I'm here with my good friend Jonathan Powell, the creator of the Gospel Keys Urban Pro 600 series, and we just want to let you know this is also being recorded. So if you missed some of it, it will be available at the link, the same page that you actually clicked on. So we encourage you to post your questions here, right here on this page, post them, and we'll definitely try to get to them ASAP. So, Jonathan, we're just going to go ahead and get started briefly on this call. It's an exciting day. We're releasing Gospel Keys Urban 600, Gospel Keys Urban 600. Jonathan, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Man, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing real good, man. It's a beautiful day out here.
Yeah, I know. I know it's kind of chaotic here on this on this call, but we have a lot of people out there listening in live, and we're just going to ask and answer some of their most frequently asked questions. And everybody, if I stutter out there, it's because usually when release days, I'm up 24 hours. So my mind is not at its heightened stage right now, but at the least, we're going to have a nice interview here with Jonathan Powell. So, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
We're glad to have you on this call, man.
Glad to be here, brother. Glad to be here.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and start. We've started enough. People can get the recordings if they want later on. So basically, we're here today because of Gospel Keys Urban 600. And before we even talk about that, we want to kind of get some information from you, Jonathan. I know who you are, obviously, but maybe the world, maybe the audience out there doesn't know who you are. So why don't you just give us a brief history, how long you've been playing, how long you've played, who you've had the privilege to study under, who you played with, and, you know, just kind of a nice, you know, brief story about yourself so we can get some knowledge of what it takes to get to your level.
Okay. Well, Jermaine, as you know, I've been playing about 8, 9 years, going on like about 9 years. And I started like in high school, 9th grade. I started when I first got to high school. And piano always interested me. I always loved the sound of the piano. And basically how I got started, I joined the school choir at my high school, and I just started playing the piano for them. God just blessed me with the ear and the drive to, you know, to want to do it. So
Right.
Being in that position, I actually had to learn new songs constantly because the choir were constantly performing, going to different schools. And it really put me on the spot, and it really made me and gave me that push to have to actually learn, like, something new every single week. So, you know, I was they would give me material.
Well, let's back up. How old were you when you first started playing piano? Because many people think it takes decades to get to your level. And they're looking at the clips now. They're seeing, you know, all these runs and fill-ins and tricks that you do. How old were you when you got started?
I was about 14, 15.
How old are you now?
22.
22, wow. So it's only been, what, 7 years?
I would say, actually, it was serious when 14, but, you know, I used to, like, ring and ting, like, on the piano, like, 13, but I got serious, you know, and started actually learning songs, like, once I got to, you know, high school and everything.
Right, right. So what do you think the difference was between old Jonathan, because you weren't always as good as you are today, and, you know, the urban, the contemporary, the man, the guy that was just on a Jimmy Kimmel show and accompanying, we'll talk about some of those things later, but what is the difference between the old John and the new John? Because I know there's a lot of people out there stagnant and kind of stuck at where they are in their playing, and they really are looking for something to take them to the next level.
Well, the difference is that coming up, I actually got a chance to sit under, you know, a lot of really good piano players, a lot of good cats, and they kind of took me under their wing. And also, I went through the School of Hard Knocks, though, too, but just being around good people and good role models actually, you know, took me to where I am today, and it got me there a lot faster. So, you know, you are who you hang with, and if you hang around good people and good, talented people, you know, you'll get to where you want to go, you know,
that's
a lot
faster. Right, right. I heard a saying that says you're the average of the five people you hang around the most. And I'm just thinking, a musician, you know, from a musician standpoint, if you hang around people that are not that good or you're the best one in the group, then there's not a lot of upside potential. So, number one, you started surrounding yourself with people that were better than you or people that you wanted to get to the level they were at, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Right. Right, and I think that's real important. That's real important. Now, fast forward, I mean, I know you don't like to brag or anything, but, I mean, who have you had the privilege to work with, be around, and even the company?
Well, I got to work with Omarion. I was just on TV with him recently, probably about a few weeks ago on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show. And as soon as I got out of high school, I got the opportunity to go on tour with Jessica Simpson. And then from there, many different artists, Bobby Valentino, True First, a lot of different artists and a lot of unsigned artists. So God bless me. Like, as soon as I got out of high school, I had opportunities knocking at my door. And actually, the school I graduated from, they offered me a job. So things really started rolling for me once I graduated from high school, because then I was free. I had more time, you know, to do what I wanted to do.
Right, right. So try to give us a glimpse, before we get into the specific aspects of the course, give us a glimpse of what it takes for somebody to get to the next level. Because I think a lot of people have the idea that it just kind of comes, you know, go fool around on the piano for 15 minutes, get up and, you know, do it the every other day or skip a day and, you know, really inconsistent and, you know, one thing so they can get to the next level doing it that way. But what does it really, really take?
And I'm going to say this, if you're serious, piano is not a game. Like, it really takes a lot of practice and a lot of dedication, because if you're not going to do it seriously, you're going to find yourself getting frustrated. You know, I'm not getting to where I want to be fast enough. You have to practice consistently every day. And, you know, that's what really got me to where I am, because I really had to do it, because, like I said, I had to learn new songs. I was constantly challenging myself to learn something new every time I sat down at the piano. So it's really going to take, you know, practice and a lot of drive. But, you know, even if you practice an hour a day, you'll see the big difference in the long run. Because, you know, you're gonna see yourself getting better. Practice is the key in positioning yourself around people that are better than you and people that, you know, if you want to play on TV, you know, and you want to do big gigs, you got to put yourself around those type of people, you know.
Right.
It's not hard. A lot of people that are doing a lot of these gigs, they come from church. You know, they're going to the church, and they're getting a lot of church musicians, because, you know, they have the best feel, and, you know,
they're
soulful. So, you know, if you can play church music, and if you can play advanced chord voicing, pretty much if you can play church, you can play pretty much anything there is. So, you know, you surround yourself around good people. And, you know, they have great reputations. And, you know, your reputation is one of the most important things. You know, you got to go up to the gigs on time and pretty much carry yourself in a professional manner. And people were
well, John, I'm just looking online. It looks like we have hundreds of people logged in. I've already gotten 25 questions from different people that are on the teleclass. Not many called in the phone. I didn't expect many to call on the phone because the teleclass is free. I mean, you just click on the button and hear it. But that's a good point that you brought up, and I said that to say this. There's so many different people on the phone, and they may not have access to some of the professionals. So you kind of say that for granted, you know, get around the good people. But what about somebody who can't get around professionals, people that play for this guy or that artist or Kirk Franklin? You know, they don't hear those kinds of names around them. How do they get to the next level when they're their only musician in the church, for example, and they're hopping from the piano to the organ and stuff like that? What does someone to do then?
Well, you know what? There are some great resources that are out now that I didn't have. You know, like we have different videos, and that's one thing. That's why we're doing this, because I know a lot of people don't have access to, you know, some of the things that I've had, and I've been, God has blessed me to be around some really good musicians. So I just wanted to take what I learned and, you know, put it on video, because, like I said, it was hard for me at first when I first started to, you know, get a hold of these people. And like I said, God has blessed me, so I just want to be a blessing to other people and take what I know and put it into this video and share my gift with the world, because I know God has blessed me, and I just want to be a blessing to other people. And a lot of things that I learned, really, it took me a long time to learn, because when you start learning two-hand chord voicings and all these alterations, you know, it really takes some time, especially when you're teaching yourself and you have to train your ears. So I just thought of a concept to actually help people to learn a whole lot faster these chords that, you know, you hear on a lot of these contemporary gospel songs. A lot of them are recycled over and over and over. And the more you play and the more your ear gets trained, you'll really be able to see, you know, what I mean. But if you check out the chords, you'll see exactly what I mean, because chords are recycled over and over and over, and you'll find yourself learning a lot of songs, and you'll be like, oh, okay, that's the same chord that's in this song, but it's just voiced, you know, a little different. So I take you through tons and tons of chord voicings. I'll show you how to play one chord about 10 different ways, and then you'll see how it's used in chord progressions and so on. So, you know, it's really not hard at all, but, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, getting the mindset, okay, I want to do it, and, you know, doing it. That's about it.
Right. Well, we got a few questions. I'm going to go to some questions, and then we'll get back to the interview. Somebody, Samuel Ekong Riverside. Samuel Ekong Riverside just posted a question.
Okay.
And feel free, if you're online, to, you know, post your questions. They come straight to me right here. He says, what is the proper way to practice productively? I can start this one off. Actually, in the page that we're advertising this course, I actually start off, it's a little bit of a rant a little bit, and I say that, you know, everybody has kind of been falsely led. They said practice makes perfect, and that's not necessarily true. Perfect practice makes perfect. See, because you can practice the right things and you can practice things right. There is a difference. I'm not just playing on words. I prefer practicing the right things rather than or over practicing things right. For example, you can get on and practice something you've been playing for years and know it upside down, major chords or whatever you're used to playing. That's not really practicing to me. That's rehearsing. You're just rehearsing something you already know. The key is to be practicing some things you don't already know, practicing some things that are going to take you to the next level, practicing things that aren't comfortable to you, and those are the right things to practice. And I think going back to what John says, hanging around the right people, you'll get the right things to practice. That's what shedding is. You get people in your area, people in your circle, and they get on the piano, they do something that you've never heard before, if you've never been able to do it, and probably if you hadn't heard them do it, it wouldn't even really be in your, you know, your scope, your knowledge, you know, arena. You wouldn't even know to practice it, in other words. So it is hanging around people, and you don't get DVDs to tell you everything or to pretty much do it for you. You get DVDs to open your mind up, and especially if you can find the right company to attach to that really tells you why to do it, how to do it, you know, step by step. You can really learn a lot. It's not a matter of just teaching you everything and copying it, but it really opens your mind to playing a lot of other things, because you learn one chord and you can use it a dozen different ways in probably 100 different songs. People say, how do you memorize all these songs? How do you memorize what you practice? It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of patterns. But John, how did you, or how do you structure your practicing?
Well, what I do, I actually pick out a song, right? And when I first started, I knew nothing about theory or nothing. So I would learn chords, and then I would actually, I had a chord book. A chord encyclopedia.
Right.
I looked up the chords. And then once I found a chord, I saw different ways I can voice it. So I just figured out different ways on my own to play this chord, because however many notes you have in the chord, that's how many you can practice. So I basically, you know, instead of just learning the song and say, okay, I know it, I actually sat down and studied it, you know, and figured out all the chord voicings I could possibly do. So I don't want to just be locked in and, you know, playing a song exactly like the record. I want to be free to improvise and do my own thing, you know. So that's one thing I did that really took, you know, a lot of time. So I would find myself on one song probably like 4 or 5 hours. Once I picked out the song, I'd take another 4 or 5 hours to actually, you know, pick out the chords and change the voicings up and just, you know, mess around with it, play around with the chords and everything. But, you know, scales are important too, hand and exercises to work on speed and dexterity for your left hand. You know, a lot of people that are having trouble with their left hand, the hand exercise is really going to help you, you know, work on your speed and dexterity. And so that's a real good recommendation right there. So I would find myself just practicing scales and, you know, playing chords and things like that. So that's really all I did, and I would do it for hours and hours at a time, and I always learned something different. So once I got past one song, went to another song, did the same thing, maybe a different type of style of gospel music, maybe some traditional, but, you know, everything I did, I tried to learn something new every time I sat down at the keyboard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking and my phone was on mute. Well, John, what is the mix between your practicing? You know, is it old stuff versus new stuff? Stuff you already know versus stuff you're trying to really get a hold of and master? Is it 90%, 10%? Is it 50-50? Are you practicing? You find yourself trying to practice new stuff because you've already mastered the old stuff? How do you work it out?
Well, I don't move on to something new until I've mastered what I already know. So say I learned something simple, something basic. So I just figure out different ways to enhance that. You know, once I learn, like say I learn take a song and then I learn some new chords from it. You know, once I get to the new song, you know, it might be basic. I'll see how to take the chords from the last song and incorporate it into this song or take some licks. It might not be in the same spot, but, you know, just learning how to place what I already learned from one song into this. So, you know, I basically take from songs and, you know, stuff I like in particular. If I really like something or a chord progression, I take it and try to incorporate it into the new song that I'm learning. And all these chord voicings, I really studied a lot. I studied a guy by the name of Jason White, and I learned so much from him, because when I first started, I wasn't around a lot of musicians. Like, say, my first couple of years, I didn't get around to meeting a lot of the good people that I met. But I heard some CDs and actually was at rehearsal, and then we had to learn a new song. And I heard the chord voicing, and that was so sweet, man. I was like, who is this? So from then on, I pretty much bought every record. I studied a lot of those chord voicings and a lot of those feels. And that really has, you know, enhanced my playing a lot too, as well as being around different musicians. But that's how I really started. I started studying a guy by the name of Jason White, and I pretty much know where he's going to go before he goes there every time I hear it. So it's really good. So God has really blessed me, and I just thank God, you know, to be able to hear y'all stuff now, because now it's to a point where I can even listen to some jazz, and I can pick out pretty much anything I hear now. It's amazing. It's crazy because, you know, I don't practice as much as I would like, but still my ear is still getting better and better. So some people, you know, if you find yourself, you know, I'm not getting better, like a little bit out of, if you practice just an hour a day, you will see the results in the long run, because I knew that I was getting better. I actually went to a conference, and Kim Burrell was singing there, and a guy by the name of Mike Burrell was playing there.
Right.
And if you guys don't know who that is, that's one of the coldest cats on the keyboard out here in L.A. He plays with Norman Hutchins, Kurt Carr, Jeannie McAllister, you know, a lot of real well-known gospel artists. So, you know, West Angeles. So I met him, and, you know, I kind of looked up to him. I went to a lot of his gigs with him and things like that. But to make a long story short, I recorded him one time on my tape player, and I couldn't pick out not one chord that he was playing because they were so crazy. There was like two-hand chord voices, things I never heard before. But then a year, I sat the tape down. I was like, forget it. I give up. But then I sat the tape down, and the next year, I picked up the same tape again, and I picked it up like almost instantly because my ear grew. And I didn't even know it. I pretty much gave up on, you know, on that. But, you know, as long as you practice consistently every day, my point is that your ear will get stronger and you'll get better.
Right, right. Let's talk about the course a little bit, because we have some questions. Like, I have Patrick here from New York. He sent in a question. He said, who, in your opinion, can get the most benefit from this course? Who? Who's the type of person? And we actually have that on the informational page. So let me actually go to that page and read some of the things that, because I write most of my own material here at the company. So let me actually go there. And meanwhile, why don't you answer that as well, John?
Well,
who can get the most benefit?
Well, I think people that really don't know how to use their left hand, the chord, you know, some people that just want to get into taking their style to another level by, you know, adding those little grace notes that they hear in a lot of songs. I teach you how to do that off of every single chord. You don't have to use them, but they really enhance your chords and give it so much more flavor. So really people that are trying to get to the next level is playing full sounding chords and, you know, adding those grace notes into it. And I get into some licks and tricks. So really, this video is all about learning advanced chords, so it's really taking your chording to the next level as well as your chord progressions. I teach you, you know, you might hear some musicians, they sound like they're going to a whole nother key when they're playing
right.
Chord progressions. They go way left field and then they come right back. I teach you things like that. It's really not hard. It's just a matter of learning voicings, and you can take one chord and learn it and apply it to a lot of different things by just, you know, changing the inversions. And people might not know, you could just change your right-hand chord, and a lot of these two-hand chord voices, they involve what you would normally play in your right hand, you would play that in your left hand, and then
right.
In your right hand, you would just play a basic triad chord in your right hand. So
right.
You have to change the inversion of the chord in your right hand, and you have a whole other chord every single time. It's really simple, you know, but people that, you know, want to take their chording to the next level and people that want to enhance their any type of song, all you have to do, if you know your basic chords, that's the key. If you know your basic chords, then you will be 100% better, because I will teach you how to play a basic chord 10 different ways and enhance it and give it a lot more flavor, you know.
Right, right. And also, I'm going to also read a few lines from the actual informational page, and if anybody's listening to this online, if you see that big button down there that says Get Product Info, if you click on that, you can actually read with me. On the middle of the page, probably now a quarter of the way down, it says, Am I Talking to You? That's the headline. And I said, who should continue to read this page? Number one, anyone who is committed to lifelong learning. I mean, even John could tell you that there never comes a time when you know everything you need to know. I don't know everything I need to know. The pros don't know everything they need to know. The people that, you know, play for a living on the tours, on the road, they don't know everything they need to know. They're always learning. They're always chatting with other people, like-minded people. So anyone committed to lifelong learning, this course is for you. I mean, if you play jazz and you just want to learn another style because maybe you can incorporate some of the things from this urban style into your jazz, just like we incorporate jazz into this urban gospel style. They kind of commingle there. Number two, anyone who's sick and tired, my mom used to say being sick and tired, but anybody who's sick and tired of playing the same stuff over and over, and you know who I'm talking to, when you sit down on the piano and it's the same thing over and over, you're almost predictable, and you kind of reach this glass ceiling, if you will. Like, you're looking up, you can touch it, you can see through it, but you can't get past it. So, you know, people that are kind of stuck, you know, you've been playing for years, maybe 30 years, maybe 50 years, but you see this ceiling in front of you, and you just really kind of need to step out there with a little bit of faith, a little bit of dedication and commitment, and learn this new style. Like I said in the YouTube video that's at the top of our informational page, gospel music has evolved. It's a lot more contemporary, a lot more modern, a lot more urban. You know, you got your West Coast styles, you got your East Coast styles. I mean, there's a lot going on. Gospel music has changed. We used to call the songs that they open up church nowadays, we used to call those choir songs, remember? Oh, they sung a choir song for devotion or praise and worship, but that is the reality. Gospel music is changing. So anyone who is sick and tired of playing the same stuff over and over, anyone trying to keep up with where gospel music is going, that's the contemporary, neo-soul, urban side of gospel music, this course is for you. It would benefit you mostly. Anyone wanting to learn two-hand chord voicings and how to make their left hand and right hand work seamlessly together, that's very, very hard for musicians, and I think John has got it down pat. Anyone struggling to add feelings to their playing to make it sound less empty, you know, people that don't know what to do in between chords and you just kind of play them, but you don't add your own personality or really know what to do, John has a lot of little things for you. And then lastly, anybody who's just hungry for more, you just always want to learn more, you get the joy out of learning a new chord or a new progression or something like that, this course is for you. So let me go to some of the other questions in my moderator box. Looks like they are piling up here. So I've finished Patrick's question. Let's see. Tim Newton, Sarasota, Florida, I believe. I don't really play gospel music, but I do love the style. I like jazz and blues and some R&B. Would this course benefit me? I just don't want to learn box chords. I like to know the theory behind it and be able to form the same chord in many different ways. Again, will this course help me? That's from Tim Newt, Sarasota, Florida. What do you have to say about that, John?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, what I have to say to that is, really, chords are recycled over and over. So a lot of chords that we use in this gospel style are you know, derived from a lot of jazz. All the 9th, the 11th, and 13th, we can take these same chords and incorporate it in jazz. So that's how I learned a lot of chords from jazz, too, as well. But the only difference between how jazz chords are voiced and how more gospel chords are voiced is that, you know, with jazz style, their chords are more open. And how we play our chords more closed in. And they have a fuller sound and thicker sound because, you know, they're more closed in together. So I would say you would learn a lot more voicings, and, you know, you can incorporate the both. So, you know, I take jazz chords and incorporate it into my gospel playing, and then you can take the same thing and incorporate the same chords into jazz and many other styles. I mean, I wouldn't just say it goes to jazz and, like, music, you know, period. You can play a lot of different styles by just, you know, learning these chords because they're recycled over and over, like I said, so. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay. He's also in the R&B. Same thing applies to R&B and really blues. I mean, gospel and
exactly.
Blues go like hand in hand. So it would definitely benefit you. And pretty much, John, the reason we called it Urban Pro is because it is kind of borderline, and that's where a lot of gospel is right now. Between this neo-soul, it even sounds a lot like rhythm and blues as well. Of course, the intent of it is gospel. And a lot of the examples you'll see on this website, especially the movies and YouTube that we've uploaded, notice his style. You don't only hear that in gospel music. You hear that in a plethora of different genres. So it can definitely benefit someone. Now, if you were saying classical, I would flat out probably tell you, you know, go do the sight reading thing. I'm not trying to offer this to anyone, but you said R&B is very close. You know, jazz, likewise, especially blues. it does apply to other genres, but right now, you know, of course, we'll focus on gospel, contemporary gospel music by ear. So we handled him. Let's see, I have a lot of them. They're piling up here. Raphael Holmes, Goldsboro, North Carolina. What did you do to develop and train your ear in order to play by ear?
Hello? Okay, but basically what I did, like I said, I grew up and basically I started playing when I went to high school seriously. So what I had to do, I had to learn songs constantly. So I would find myself, they would give me material, and I would just find myself sitting there rewinding. So I got the chord. So I would spend a lot of time on one song just rewinding all over again because I was self-taught. And I knew nothing about chord progressions. I knew nothing about chords. I just went from nothing and, you know, basically taught myself how to play. And the more songs I learned, the more I saw how things were related. But, you know, I didn't have resources like Hearing Play and Gospel Kids to actually, you know, be taught a system of how things are, you know, put together. So that's how I learned myself. But you know, you guys don't have to learn that way, obviously, because we actually came up with these resources and everything to actually cut down that time to help you learn a lot faster than, you know, what took us, the amount of time that took us to learn, you know. So pretty much in my course, I did the same thing because I know a lot of people are looking for those two-hand chord voicings. A lot of people are tired of just being in a box and tired of just hearing, you know, the same chords that they play daily. So I just give you tons and tons of different voicings that you can use, and I teach you how to apply them, you know, into chord progressions, your everyday chord progressions that you use. You know, you have with your 1-4-5s, your 7-3-6s. If you saw the clip, I showed you, you know, just on the clips many different ways just to play the 7-3-6, and it's still the same chord progression. It can be used the same way, but you have other options. You know, you have a lot of different options on here. So, you know, that's really what I do. And, you know, just to answer your question, I really just taught myself how to play it by ear by just, you know, taking songs and rewinding them and rewinding. And that's what really trained my ear because, you know, that's the best way to do it is, you know, picking out stuff by ear and keep going at it, even though, you know, it might be hard, you can't hear, but keep doing it. And that's like the best ear training ever. So, you know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but you have to sit down and you have to go at it and you have to practice at that keyboard.
Okay, that sounds good. And just if I can add my two cents, really learn intervals, really focus on intervals. Intervals are what make the music world go around. You got melodic intervals, that's notes to notes, you know, Mary Had a Little Melody, basically. You got harmonic intervals, that are those are notes stacked on top of each other. Those are chords. Those are triads and everything above. And you want to focus on relationships. You know, when you're on a one chord or when you're on the tonic, we call it, or the home base, that feeling of home, that's the key that you're in. That's your home on the street. That's your key. Out of 12 houses, we're in one house, we're in one key. It could be the key of C, it could be the key of D. You want to find out and you want to listen to how does that C, that house sound going to the next house? How does that sound going to F? And really master that sound because that's going to create a unique sound. You know, yeah, you. And yes, you're going to have a major chord here, a minor chord there, but, you know, you want to master relationships, intervals, you know, how the one sounds going to the four, how the one sounds going to the five, you know, and really learn in fourths. If you can train your ear, we have a pitch ear training software that's really good at that. Takes you through over 800 exercises. You can connect the MIDI keyboard. That's at hearandplaypitch.com. We have the Piano Player Plus. And really what it's about is just really getting to learn those intervals. Fourths and fifths, they're inverses of each other, and we don't really have time to go into deep, but they're very related. And really music works in fourths. So from C to F, you know, learn that relationship. From F to B flat, learn that relationship. B flat to E flat, just looking at a circle of fourths chart, circle of fifths chart, because if you look at a chart, you go to Google right now, and type in circle of fifths and go to the image section so you can just find any kind of picture on the circle of fifths. They're pretty much all similar. And learn it going clockwise, as it even were a clock. C would be at 12 o'clock. you know, learning going from 12 o'clock to 11 o'clock, which F would be there, D flat would be at 10 o'clock, and really master those relationships. You know, if you have to sit there at your keyboard and play a C going to F, or and then it'll get a little deeper, you know, 2-5-1, it might be a minor going to a dominant. We don't have enough time to dedicate to that right now. But really practice in force. That's more the practical side of it. If you're not as gifted as Mr. John over here that can just brilliantly teach himself at the tender age of 16 how to play, you know, just take it systematically and use one of our ear trainers, like Hear and Play Pitch, will really help to accelerate that because you can sing and connect your keyboard. So that's really cool. All right, so we answered Raphael. Let's see. And this is just an informal talk, as you can see. I'm my own moderator, and John's being grilled by all of us. We got Dave from San Jose. What kind of situation outside of church will these skills or tips apply?
Well, if you want to go and step out into, like, you know, R&B or, you know, any type of music like that, a lot of chords apply. And like I said, a lot of different people go out for the gospel musicians because of their style and their flavor. So if you want to step into jazz, these same chord voices are used. Of course, you know, you have to work on, you know, your soloing skills. But, man, I could, these same chords, you can make a whole jazz song just by taking these chord voices. And, you know, that's really, the chords don't create the style. The placement of the chords actually, you know, create the style. So, you know, if you arrange it a certain way, that would create one style. If you arrange it one way, it would create another style. So, really, you can take this course and, you know, learn what's in it and then play many different styles because, like, if you play gospel music, you can pretty much play anything, you know, just because gospel covers so much from, you know, we have your blues style, your more traditional old school, you know, Church of God in Christ style. That's really bluesy and more jazzy. Then you have your contemporary worship, you know, and like Jermaine said, nowadays everything is kind of, you know, going borderline R&B, but, you know, it's still gospel. But as far as the flavor and the style of a lot of, you know, music that's coming out today, it's more going towards, like, neo-soul, you know, type style. So that's pretty much what I have to say about that. But, yeah, it's cool, man. You learn a lot of different styles just by, you know, learning a lot of different chord voices.
Right. Okay, that sounds good. Jeff from Manor, New York, Jeff Cortland, this is a very needed product. There are not that many keyboard teachers that can teach and teach this style of playing. I wanted to know if there's going to be a follow-up course. It seems that follow-up is very, very important, and if the training of the students will take advantage of it. Also, I want to know if you're going to at some point offer an affiliate program for those interested in marketing your products. Well, I can answer that last one. We do have an affiliate program at hearandplay.net. Actually, our affiliate manager is on the phone, as is like every staff member here. But just go to hearandplay.net. Brian Hall's old affiliate program, and you can actually, you know, get paid to refer your friends to such a great service. Now, to answer that other side, we do have follow-up training, but it's for the first 350 people that order today, and I can tell you right now, we're getting pretty close, and you hear these phones even behind us. So if that fills up, and we're going to use the same infrastructure. Now, keep in mind, this is our first time doing this teleclass or this, I don't even know what to call it, to be honest. I call it 50 different things, a webcast, simulcast. We're actually going to use this technology. If you look on the actual info page, if you're the first 350 to order, you're going to get two classes with me and John, and these are what we're going to actually, number one, the class is Friday at 3, I think it's 3 Pacific, but let me actually make sure on the info page, let's see, I'll scroll, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom where it says for the first 350, we'll only accommodate the first 350 for these particular early bird bonuses. You'll get two live training sessions over this same system that we're using right now. The first session will be Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, how to guarantee your success with Gospel Keys Urban Pro 600. So that's the first training series. And then the second one will be Monday at 3, and that will be the last one. John and I will be talking about left-hand secrets exposed. So That's for the first 350. John's over here looking surprised. Like, why not know about these?
Now he does.
Thanks a lot.
No problem. Just we'll have to take lunch break, you know, a little earlier. But those are the training sessions for the first 350, and they will be recorded, as is this informal interview, our first time on this technology. So follow-up training is covered there. And we'll have other things from time to time using this same system in, you know, a variety of topics. I have guest speakers come on. No, it's a very cool system. I'm very pleased with it, especially being our first time. Just found out about it yesterday and incorporated it, like, right on the spot. So next question. Let's see.
Jermaine?
Yes.
Also, to touch on that, in regards to the course, we're going to have a follow-up course after this that I'm going to be working on. And pretty much I couldn't fit everything that I wanted to teach into this video because I wanted to give you guys a lot of structure. I wanted to give you a lot of foundation as far as having cores, you know, and padding because that's important. And well, I wanted to get into some licks and tricks a lot more. I got into some, but the next course is going to pretty much cover all licks and tricks. So that way if I'm over a certain chord, you already know what type of core voicing it is because I covered it in 600. So I'm going to show you different runs and different feelings that you can do over a lot of the cores that are taught in this course. So that's why I couldn't fit as much as I wanted to in there, but it's going to be a whole another course covering glicks and tricks. And I have a lot of things for you guys. So look out for that Urban Pro 650.
650. We look forward to that. So, yeah, not only do you have the simulcast, the webcast, because you can call in on the phone or hear it live. We got the follow-up course, 650, coming out. And this, you know, we're always doing things here. This is what we do full-time. Hear and Play Music is a company in Irvine, California. If you're ever in Southern California, we're a full office. We're music instruction. And we're primarily in ear training and gospel. So there's a lot of follow-up in other product areas as well. So let's move on. Larry from our neck of the woods, Los Angeles, he says, I'm not able to grasp the concept. And it's funny because I'm not pre-reading these. I don't have a screener. Every staff we have is on the phone right now, so I'm reading them as they come in. I'm just praying to God that everything's appropriate. I'm not able to grasp the concept of thinking and playing at the same time. I'm referring to reading music. I've been playing so long by ear. That's why I like most of the video stuff you have that shows how the chords are played. Does the Urban Pro series have a lot of video lessons? That's all it is. I mean, it is video. We don't do sight reading. Not to discount sight reading. It's great for somebody who wants to go through the long series of learning and the grades and the steps and classical music, you know, traditional music, it's fine. But, you know, for gospel, urban, you know, playing on the cuff, the Holy Ghost taking over, the anointing, you got to know how to improvise. You got to play by ear because Sister Murphy is going to take that song up to another key. You're going to have to be able to follow her. She's going to change the tempo. You know, my grandma's a perfect example. She always loves me. Can nobody accompany her to Jesus loves me but me? You know, it'll be five organists. She'll kick them off, pull me from the back of the church and say, my grandson's going to accompany me. And even me, playing for her all these years, she'll change up the tempos and, you know, she'll say, oh, my voice is hoarse. Can you put me a little lower? So you really have to be able to know all this. And that was actually another question. How important is it to play in all 12 keys? We'll cover that one next. But, yes, I find both ways to answer your question, Larry. Going from sight reading to playing by ear, people have difficulties there because they're so used to the eye and the thinking, and it's so, like, I don't know, intellectual, that this feeling part of it, this hearing and playing what you feel, it's kind of hard for that group. And then I find in our group, going over to the sight reading, it's totally different. Well, for the most part, you can just kind of hear it and play it. If you've arrived at that stage, you don't even want to read it when you can just hear it. So, yeah, that is a difficulty, and in sight reading, we can't really answer most of your questions there, but, you know, just like this, it's a matter of practicing and recognition and getting the right help and being around the right system. And that's why you said you like video. Urban Series is all video. It's 5.5 hours of video spread over different lessons. I mean, everything, chords, progressions, different movements. He has these little grace note tricks that he does, and you can see the videos actually on the page. Fill-ins, I mean, all kinds of stuff that you can get more information on the sales page. We're already up to about 237 people, and we just released this an hour and 19 minutes ago. It released at 8 o'clock. So if you really want to be in on this follow-up class, you definitely want to get the course right now. Let me move on. Dave, he says, oh, that's the question. How important is it to practice in all 12 keys? What do you think about that, John?
Well, I think it's very important because you never know what type of situation you're going to be in.
You know, class, you definitely...
Hey, hold on 1 minute. My phone is going in.
Okay. Yeah, we're informal here. I don't know. Are you still with us, John?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Your phone's not dying, are you?
No, it's not dying. You know how cell phones are, though.
Okay, okay, because we couldn't use the office phone because all of them are tied up. But, yeah, to continue on that question, playing in all 12 keys.
Okay, I feel that it's important because you never know what type of situation you're going to be in. And if you want to be a top-skilled musician, it's a must that you play in all 12 keys. And it's really not hard if you know theory, you know. Knowing intervals, knowing the number system, you can pretty much take what you learn and apply it to any key. And that's one thing that I love because once I started learning that number system, I found myself like, you know, I found myself on the organ sometimes, you know, in devotion, you know. So you might end up at an old Baptist church or, you know, you never know. And the deacons just might start busting out a, old hymn. And you never played it in a certain key, you know. But, you know, just knowing the number system, you know the pattern of what's going on. So you already automatically know what to do. So it's very important just to be a skilled and versatile musician, you know. Just being able to adapt to different situations. So if you learn a song, if you have choir rehearsal or anything, and the choir director tells you to learn a song and you learn it, and then she said, oh, the choir can't sing it in that key. It's too high or it's too low, and she needs you to adjust the key, you know, just being able to do that on, like, is important because if, you know, you want to be the person getting called for a lot of gigs and, you know, you want to be the man that's being called or just, you know, being skilled and being on that advanced level, being a pro, that's important. So that's what I would think about that one, Jermaine. You still there?
Yes. Okay, let's move on to the next question here. I apologize. I'm everywhere, John. I'm all over the place in here. Okay. More questions here. How often and how many hours per day are you able to practice? Do you study jazz piano? John, do you? How often do you practice? How many hours per day? And do you study? We kind of covered the jazz part of it, but just talk about your own personal practicing and what you recommend for somebody who is not at your level.
Okay, right now I know there are a lot of adults out there because I actually started as a teenager and you know I had a lot of free time on my hands, but now as an adult. My time is very limited, so, you know, I try to at least practice 1 hour a day. And, you know, if that's all you can do, that's good because a little something is better than nothing. So, you know, an hour a day is good, you know. So practice an hour a day, and if you can do more, do a lot more. You know, it's the first thing you do is, you know, when you get up in the morning, go to the keyboard, you can just practice some skills. If you do that consistently every day, you can do that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, just get up practicing skills before you go to work or, you know, before you do what you got to do. And that you'll really see a difference in your strength in your hands and fingers because you're doing it every day. But just, you know, an hour after day at least, and, you know, the more, the better. I wish I could practice a whole lot more because I love to play, but unfortunately I can't.
But in reality, though, your practice comes because you're playing pretty much every day at somebody's church service
yeah.
or whatnot. It is a catch-22 when people get to your level. Because at one point, you know, when you didn't have all the gigs, of course, you were hungry, practicing. And then all the gigs come, even the church services outside of church, and it's pretty much you're occupied. It's your life. You're here doing it. You're outside of here and play doing it. So, you know, it's pretty much more than you think. It's just that you live it so much that maybe you don't see it as a lot of practice, but it's kind of practicing and the doing as well. But, yeah, hour is very good. And if you can do more, better for you.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, let me move on to some more questions out here. I have a lot of them in the queue. And if you guys hear this is an informal interview, it is. This is our first time using this service, and I'm actually reading the questions as they come in. So this is from, let's see. Jeff, I think we heard from Jeff before. He says, there is a need to make the video clips more effective. You can watch them, but many times the teacher, which is John, is going too fast for you to pick it up. What he or she is teaching should become more, let me start it over. I can't understand this sentence. Whether he or she is teaching, so become very frustrated, and that is not good for the learning experience. Is there any new video techniques or technologies that will enhance these lessons so we can pick up the techniques and ideas being taught? Well, the thing about video online is that we can't show it the full size, so it's small to begin with in those clips. And the clips, are, you know, they have titles on them. So, I mean, you do have to pause, I mean, because we can't cover everything in the course. Most likely in the clip, he's covering the climax area or he's shown most of it and he's recapping. We're just trying to give you a good idea of what the clips talk about. You really have to get the course if you're really going to learn. I mean, it is kind of like getting your tongue wet when you see the clips, but, you know, they're intended. Hey, if you can get a lot out of them, great. That's what they're there for, and that's why we put them on YouTube. But if you're really trying to, you know, learn from it, I mean, I would encourage you to, you know, get the course. There's a money-back guarantee, and I don't think you would be sorry. John really, really slows it down. I mean, the 12 clips or the 10 clips wouldn't do it justice because there were some times when I told him to speed it up because he was so repetitious and he really studied the hear and play model and how we break things down in previous courses. And I have full confidence that once you get this in your hand, that you're going to see it's broken down in a way. And if you're the first 350, you're also going to be able to get that core book that is going to be delivered to you. You'll get a little thing in your mail that gives you the code to get that online because that's exclusively for the first 350 mailed packages out. So all of that is going to lead to a great learning experience. And Jeff, if you have any other questions, I encourage you to call our number. You can actually find it right here on this Simulcast page. It's the bottom link under the Get Product Info. So let me move on to the next one. Let's see. This is from B3 Wannabe in Korea. How you doing? You sound real familiar. Let me go ahead and read your question here. 1 second. All right. And he says, it's the opposite with me. I can hear everything that you did. A lot of the chords I know. But when I play most of the time, I can't hear the same placement that you use. What do you do to open up your ears to the placement of the chords, John? This is from B3 Wannabe in Korea.
Okay. Well, like I said, I position myself around getting, you know, musicians that really crazy chord progressions and things like that. Real good musicians. So I know everybody's not as blessed to be in that position, but I actually take you through the situation. The clips don't really, like Jermaine said, don't serve any justice because they're so fast. I really get into placement in the video. So really, I take you through every single chord version. I pretty much show you how to place that. You know, it's just a matter of substituting certain chords that you use on the norm. But what really gives it that different type of feel and placement are those grace notes. You know, a lot of people play the same chords, but the text still really, you know, sets you apart. from how, you know, you play it compared to somebody else. So that might be another thing, but I break all that down in the video. I show you, you know, a different set to steal off every single court. So, you know, you're not just playing a chord like an A5 major 7. You know, rather than just playing it straight, you know, adding a little grace note to it to give it a flavoring and to give it some soul, you know. So that's what I say about that.
Okay, next question. And my laptop's on battery here, running out of juice. But Pam McClain, Sun City, Arizona. I've been playing by ear. Now, you know she's not on the telephone, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying. I know, I'm switching to hear me.
Oh, okay, just making sure. Now, there's thousands, there's hundreds of people listening to us out there in cyberspace with this new technology. Pam, I've been playing by ear for 20-plus years. Do I need to revert back to the basic? It's hard to break down to new terminology like 6251 or 73625. You know, some of the progression that we talk about and stuff like that. Well, if you don't understand those things, you do want to go back because a lot of those things are the foundations. So, Pam, I'm guessing that you just kind of play what you feel and what you hear, but maybe the terminology and kind of what you're doing is not that evident to you. If that's the case, I would kind of go to like 202 or 101 and even get this urban course eventually. I mean, you'll save on the shipping and you can get a good package deal and, you know, get to it when you can as well. But I would go back there. There's two different kinds of musicians. It's the ones that sound really, really good and they don't know what they're doing, don't know how somebody showed them something. You know, like John said, maybe somebody did, you know, hang around the top guys, you know, but really didn't get that foundation, so they sound good, but when it comes time to be independent and learn a song by themselves, they fold. And then you have people that they really know the theoretical side, and they play. I guess there's three kind of people, because then there's the ones that know it both, play well and can talk it and be theoreticians and stuff, and then it's the ones that know the theory a lot but then can't play a lick. So I think you want to be right there in the middle. You don't have to be a pro at theory. You don't have to know Ionian, Locrian, and mediant, and supertonic, and stuff like that. But you definitely want to know what a 251 is. You know, that's the second chord of the scale, going to the fifth chord of the scale, going to the first chord of the scale. What it's really doing is you're kind of playing the dominant, that it's not a dominant, it's a minor chord going to the five. That has a very strong pull because of the fourth relationship. D in the key of G is actually the fifth, and we know that dominant relationship is one of the strongest pulls. So a lot of these progressions, when you really break them down, they're fourth and fifth intervals. They're pretty much D going to G is that, you know, that relationship there. G going to C is that same relationship. Even the 7-3-6-2-5-1, they all move according to that circle. And I actually talk about that in another course coming out called Hear and Play Chords 101, Hear and Play Chords 102. We're actually giving it away for free on the order form with one of the bigger packages. But, yes, I do recommend that you learn that terminology. What do you think, John?
Oh, yeah, that's very important because, you know, if you don't understand chord progressions, it's going to be hard for you to actually take. Say you learn a song, it's going to be hard for you to change the key. Like I said earlier, just understanding the number system will help you to, you know, just get to another level. And it takes you there faster because once you learn something in one key, like I said, you pretty much play it in every single key. And it's important, and, you know, if you want to help somebody out, if they say, what are you playing, you know, you would want to be able to explain to them what you're playing. And you don't want to be a musician that actually, you know, learns a lot of sweet things but don't know what you're doing because, like Jermaine said, you're going to find yourself, you know, once you have to learn on your own, you're going to kind of be handicapped because you depend on, you know, somebody else to show you all the time rather than, you know, actually learning the system of how it works and actually sitting down and getting a good understanding of what you're doing. So, yeah, I would say, you know, learn some of that, the theory. And it's really not hard at all, you know, just a matter of learning your skills and learning them as numbers and everything. So it's really not hard at all. And Jermaine really is an excellent teacher at breaking that down.
Well, thank you, sir. All right, we got Gina from Hannibal, Missouri. I would like to know how to apply the runs and tricks to the music we already have the chords to. Will this program help to apply this?
Yeah, it will definitely enhance your playing as far as learning runs and licks, different new things. But like I said, for the most part, it's focused a lot on a lot of advanced chords and progression. So if you want to step outside the box and learn some different chord progressions that, you know, are outside the norm, using some different chord voicings, this is good for you. As well as I taught you, you know, different things. If you hear a lot of some musicians, they do little single notes in between that chord, and it's simple, but it's sweet. And, you know, it's hard to figure out because, you know, just the placement and the rhythm of what they're doing, I break a lot of those things down. And so, you know, you can add little different flavorful things in between your chords, you know, as you're going from one progression to the next. Little mix to put in between the chords, you know, to give it some flavor. So, like I said, 650, the follow-up chord is going to really get more into, you know, just licks and tricks and runs and crazy stuff that you can do. But this more so is teaching you two-hand chord voices, you know, alter chords, minor nines, just a lot of different ways that you can play basic chords and fatten them up and play them with, you know, a feel, the West Coast feel, you know, giving it those grace notes, you know, like your Kurt Carr style, your Byron Cage, Ty Trebek, more so the style where music is going now, you know, some mixing tricks here and there.
Okay. Well, great answer, John. Let's move on. Things are chaotic here. Keep in mind, you want to be the first 350 to order because we're going to use this same technology that you're listening to right now to actually, but it will be a lot more private because there's only people that are ordering on the sales page. There's going to be a lot of people that are getting in, so you want to be the first 350 for it. Now, let's move on to the next question. Does this course give information on the most popular chord progressions?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like chord progressions that you hear a lot of good musicians play, and I find myself, you know, coming up, going to a lot of musicians, can you show me something? And you have a lot of them, oh man, you got it already, you already know it. And I used to hate that, and I know there are a lot of musicians around, you know, the world that are like that are stingy with their chord progressions, and I actually, like, I said, forget it, you know, I'll just bring my tape recorder and go home and take it for myself. So that's what I found myself doing. Like every time I went to an event, I just have my tape recorder there. So that's a good idea. If you don't have a tape recorder, invest in a tape recorder. So that way, you know, it's one thing to go and hear somebody play, but you know, you always want to be prepared because you can learn from anybody and anywhere, you know. So I always have my tape recorder, and I actually went to musicals, tape recorded people, and I learned a little bit from everybody. And then once I learned it, I interpreted it a lot different, you know. You can learn something from somebody, but you're not going to think the same way that they think. And you're not going to use it the exact same way. So I have tons of chord progressions I learned from so many different people, and I flipped them and made them my own. So, yeah, a lot of advanced chord progressions that you hear, you know, a lot of good musicians play, I pretty much have broken them down into this five-and-a-half-hour course. So, you know, five and a half hours long, and it covers a whole lot. Jermaine,
all right.
You're good.
Great. Let me move on to the next question here. What is the best way to take what you already know and put it in different keys? Will there be a course on that soon? Jermaine, and what you play on one tone, can you play it on the same tone in another key? Absolutely. That's exactly how it works. That's exactly one way to transpose songs. I mean, pretty much if you're in the key of C and you're playing a D minor 11, but you're inverting it a certain way with the 11th on the bottom, for example, well, that can be transposed into another key very easily. By just going, you know, going up. Let's say you want to go to D flat. Well, what is the second tone in the key of D flat? You know your scales. You know it's E flat, right? Well, I'm going to play that same minor 11 with maybe the 11 on the bottom or however I chose to voice it. I'm going to play that same thing in another key. So, yes,
there's 12 different worlds, 12 different keys, 12 different universes. So when you know in one key, you know, your practice, just there's so much to practice. I mean, you take this whole course, you look at that chord book, and you transpose the other keys, that's enough to keep you busy for, you know, weeks, months. So, yes, that's the quick answer to it. The long answer, you pretty much want to get, like, the 300-page course to learn about transposition or type that in Google to really learn how to, you know, transpose songs and things like that. Next question. Okay, looks like I have about 12 more questions to go. And I scheduled this call to be like 2 hours. It looks like we're going to use it. Ooh, my laptop's on battery here, so whichever one gives first. Does Hear and Play have any two-day or week-long workshops? Is it possible to arrange one? We want to do that soon. Call our office. The number is located in the lower right-hand corner. 1 or 2 day workshops. That's from Beverly in Seattle. So next question is Mike from Virginia. Jermaine, will there be a course on playing in different keys soon? Same question, different person. Jermaine, can you play the same chord on the fourth tone in one key and play the same chord on the same tone in another key? I think we answered that question. Yes. All right, next question. You still with me, John?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, I cannot hear you. Your phone must be on mute.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Brother Sandy Robinson from Huntsville, Alabama. Congratulations, Jermaine, on your use of the new simulcast technology. I was also on the call last night with Rick Raddix. This is a marketing guy. Just want to give a brother kudos, who is on fire, successful, and really cares about learning process of his customers. May God continue to bless. Hey, I appreciate that, Brother Sandy Robinson. And likewise, nice to see another internet entrepreneur on here. Yes, I'm very excited, as you can tell by my voice, for this new technology. This is the first time, so I'm not taking myself too seriously on this one. I mean, I'm just learning the things as I click here. But, you know, as we get more into it, we want to use this for a lot. We want to do, you know, live workshops, maybe live seminars, bring on some famous musicians, interview them, you know, maybe secrets2theirplaying.com. You know, we wanted to start that. So, you know, I was just so thrilled that this service came about. So it's really going to open up a lot of doors for our customers and really allow us to communicate, even like we're doing now. Tracy Wright from Kentwood, Michigan. Hi, I recently bought Gospel Keys 200, Urban Worship Extreme, and Urban Worship Classic. Where does this course stand among those courses? Now, one thing that I try to do is I don't try to give out repeat information or, you know, make you get something that another one covers. Let's start with Gospel Keys 202. Gospel Keys 202 is a foundational course, to tell you the truth. It covers a lot of chords, probably over 60 or 70 chords, major, minor, dominant, diminished, sevenths, ninths, elevenths, but the more traditional ways to voice them, straightforward voicings. You will sound great after 202. You'll sound great. You'll be able to play in a contemporary service, play songs like Thank You, Lord, I Really Love the Lord, Hallelujah, you know, all of those songs. This urban style is the reason why Gospel Keys 202 doesn't have the word urban in it. It's a little more edgier, and it's more of a neo-soulful sound. There's a lot of little tricks and licks that he does that's similar to our good friend Jamal with the Urban Extreme. But the only thing different about John is that John carries his West Coast style. And a lot of people that have had courses out there from the East Coast. And it's just a different style. It's a different way. And, you know, John, can't you touch a little bit more on the West Coast side of things? How we do more closed chords and the grace notes. Like the Doing the Song is a perfect example, how the keys sound on that song. What would you say about that?
Oh, yeah, I would say a lot of things that will make myself different from Jamal is my feel. We might play the same chords, but they will come out a totally different way just because how I play them. You know, I use grace notes and, you know, It's hard to explain. If you listen to songs like Judy McAllister or Kurt Carr, the keyboard player for that, I actually studied that style, and it's really inside me. Like, pretty much everything I play is more so like a West Coast feel with the grace notes. And pretty much I don't just play a chord straight. I, like, roll, like, every single chord, and it gives it flavor. It gives it a nice, warm, soft sound, but it's a smoother feel, basically. So I would say I play chords similar to Jamal, but how they come out and how they sound when I play them are totally different just because the feel and the approach that I'm using. Even we might have similar chord progressions, but we don't think the same, you know. I play it differently. It's just a matter of how we think.
Right, right. Okay, are you done?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Okay, all right, let me keep going. We already got that. I'm managing my own questions here, so please forgive us. First time on the simulcast. Let's see. Will there be a course on that soon? I'm not sure the subject of that line. Let me move on to the next question. When you practice, what should you practice besides scales? I think we covered that. I would have grabbed the recording of this conversation after. And the good thing about this service is that the recording will be up in less than 5 minutes after we finish this call. So that's great. Yes, I'm the same B3 wannabe from Learn Gospel Music. Thanks for the video, guys. I ordered this, the 600, 350, 450 today. I have to stay up until midnight. It's now 1:34 a.m. to get your special deal. I know you guys have a lot of the videos. Well, thank you, B3 Wannabe from Korea. I sure do know you. I remember you 3-4 years ago when we used to do the chats here in our chat room. I believe your name is Mike. You didn't put your name here, but if it's Mike, send us another question and let me know if I have a good memory. So thank you for posting that. Let me move on to the next. We're winding down with the questions here, and then this will be recorded. Tracy, in Gospel Keys Urban Pro, do you play full songs as examples to help students? Yes, he gives examples of chord progressions in songs. 202 goes through songs. We don't choose to go through songs like full songs here. We go through the progressions in the songs. And on that bonus disc 4, he actually has a bass player, and he puts all these chords together and places them in different ways and things like that. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. Soon we'll be teaching real songs, but we have to get into licensing, and it's not as easy. And if you do know people out there, you know, they can get shut down if they're not going through the right way. So we're you know, a nice-sized company, so we have to do it right. You know, we can mention similarities, but we just can't straight out teach, you know, the latest Kirk Franklin song or something like that. Yeah, we will, though. Rob, Oklahoma City, will you ever use MIDI with your teaching DVDs, piano with the light, the lit up key as you play? Yes, we will. A lot of people have figured it out. We do a real close-up shot with titles, but we will probably go towards the MIDI once we find the technical way to do it on this end. But for now, we always make sure we accompany with, you know, workbooks, close-ups of the shots, you know, very helpful titles and stuff. So, you know, to give the students a very increased learning experience. So you can always look for that coming from us. Wrapping it down, one more question I see here, unless people are still submitting them. Hi, Jermaine. I'm also an attorney and would like in the future. Okay, this must be a personal one. I won't read it on the air, just like you told me to, but I will take your information down. So there's no more questions. Let me refresh my screen. John, in closing, what would you like to tell somebody who's on the fence right now? You definitely want to be the first 350 today, no doubt. You don't want to let that pass you by because we're going to be doing some live trainings on Friday and Monday, and those are going to be nice for the people. And then you can also get the chord book, which is like, what is that, 200 pages or more?
Yeah, exactly, 200 plus.
Right, right. So that's going to be definitely exciting. So, John, why don't you close us out, this informal interview here online, live at gospelkeysurban.com. What do you want to say to somebody out there?
I just want to say, first of all, I just thank God for being able to help you guys out. to thank for all the support that you guys are showing for what we're doing. Pretty much, if you want to take your gift to the next level, this is for you. And if you want to get into some more twin chord voicing and pretty much enhance your left hand, learn how to play in the full band, learn how to alter different songs that you already know, this is for you. I just thank God. I thank you guys, you know, for being so supportive for us. And Jermaine, I just thank him for the opportunity to be able to do this for you guys. So you can ask, if you got any questions, I'm on hearandplayzone.com. I'll be glad to answer a lot of your questions. I'm on there as Jay Powell, moderator. I get a lot of questions daily. So if you got any personal questions or anything, I'll be glad to help you out. So, or give me a call at the office here, and I'll be glad to have some consultations with you guys personally. Not a problem. So, like your man always says, if you can hear it, you can play it. And thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And you want to give us a call, 877-856-4187, or continue reading the page. You know, look at the video clips, look at the commercial. And in order, you want to order today if you're going to order, because you get the best deals. The course is going to go up to $79 in about a week or so. Then it's going to go to $89 and probably stay there for a while. So if you want to get it at the $20 discount, you want to get it today. And if you want to get those bonuses we talked about, you also want to get it today. And then there's some other options on the order form. If you don't have other courses, you can actually add those in. So I'll be signing off now. And like John said, if you can hear it, you can play it. Take care.
The moderator has disconnected.